I've got roughly 4 minutes, but let me just say successes, failures and challenges, we've had them all. But I believe that the last 10 years have seen enormous progress on LGBTI rights. Not the least that the intergroup is the single biggest intergroup in the Parliament, but now no longer are debates and resolutions on the floor of the House a once-in-a-mandate issue. Regularly, we take very firm lines on LGBTI issues, the defence of LGBTI within the Union and outside. And the fact that the Vatican and other organised religious NGOs continue to attack us and try to undermine the work is an indication of the real progress. Cotonou is a success, a failure and a challenge. A success because for the first time when the Parliament was asked to do so on the revision that I took through the Parliament, we agreed that the next revision of 2015 there must be an explicit reference to discrimination on the grounds of sexual orientation as a human rights abuse. This was steadfastly refused by the ACP side in the negotiations with the Commission. The Parliament maintained it as a condition for us to grant assent, and in the end we were faced with the problem of no assent because there was no inclusion, specific inclusion of sexual orientation. And therefore the Parliament took the unusual decision of a qualified assent, and that was attaching the condition for the 2015 revision of Cotonou. Those who don't know Cotonou, Article 8, it refers to all of the African, Caribbean and Pacific countries as well as the EU, and refers to human rights abuses. And when there are systematic and maintained human rights abuses, that's my phrase, not the agreements, there is a potential to suspend the agreements that exist between the EU and the independent countries of the ACP, and that is referred to as Article 96. So it was a success, a failure, and it's a challenge. The challenge is that the Commission believes that there is no appetite amongst all of the participants for a revision in 2015. But nonetheless, our demand that sexual orientation be specifically included and not referred to as other status, which is a repetition of Article 2 of the UN Convention on Human Rights, that in itself is an important marker for any negotiations post-Cotonou, because Cotonou comes to its completion in, I'm looking at Elizabeth now, in 2020. The challenge remains that largely with theological backing, with fundamental Christian organisations, not only from the United States but from elsewhere, there is a sustained attack upon LGBTI people, their rights, and organisations that try to support them or work on their behalf in the African, Caribbean and Pacific countries. We have, I believe, reached a major crossroads with recently the bill being passed in Uganda, despite promises from parliamentarians over the last 7 years and from the president of Uganda that it would not go ahead. Equally, the bill in Nigeria banning same-sex marriage, which not only has profound implications for Nigerians, but for anyone who is non-Nigerian in a same-sex marriage or same-sex civil partnership, who is subsequently asked to go and work there by their company, an NGO, or indeed, if they choose to go on holiday there, they themselves become subject to that law. I name those two countries because I think they are amongst the signals and the signposts that show us that these are trends that are developing in other countries. I believe it is now time for the Commission to enact Article 96, to suspend relations with Uganda in particular, and where there is, which I think the Dutch have done, where there is direct aid and trade package, certainly an aid package that is directed through the NGOs and not through the government that itself would benefit from the receipt of EU funds. Colleagues, friends, it's perhaps a sad point for me to finish on, because I think I'm certainly at the end of my 4 minutes, but I've come to the conclusion after 15 years in this House, 15 years of arguing with ACP politicians and ACP countries, that quite frankly, they cannot hear us. Or if they do hear us, they choose to believe that we are not serious about the defence of human rights. If we are not serious now, we will never, ever be treated seriously again, not only by them, but the likes of Putin and others. And that is why I will be calling at the Joint Parliamentary Assembly in Strasbourg on the Commission to get the backing of the Member States to suspend the aid programmes that we have with Uganda in particular. Otherwise, let's own up. Let's say that the Joint Parliamentary Assembly is nothing more than a junket that pleases the people that we invite, but what does it achieve in terms of human rights and benefiting the lives of ordinary men and women who look to Europe as a beacon? What does it achieve? Simple word. Actually, I could use two English words, but that would be really impolite. Nothing. Thank you.